So who really did invent the delicacy we now call noodles? I'm Charles Fruza with The Pitch, and the apocryphal story says that Marco Polo brought the recipe back from China. But some culinary historians believe that some version of pasta was already being made in Italy before Marco Polo even set sail. The oldest historical reference to noodles dates back to China in the 3rd century AD. These boiled noodles were made from bits of bread dough, not strings of dough. And then there's a reference to a kind of noodle called itrium, made from semolina flour and dried before cooking, dating back to the Jerusalem Talmud in the 5th century AD. So on this edition of Central Standard, we're going to talk about a dish that remains remarkably fresh and modern, but dates back to the earliest times in recorded history. And why not? Pasta is one of the easiest foods to prepare. A little flour, an egg, and boiling water, and you're on your way. But that's going to be in the second half of Central Standard. At this part of the show, we're going to be introducing our regular food critics panel, starting with Christine.
I'm Chris Basica, and I write for the Restaurant Guide of Kansas City.
Very good.
And I'm Emily Ferris, wearing Chris Basica's glasses because I forgot mine. And I'm a freelance food writer, and I have a local food blog at thefeedmeblog.com.
And I'm Gloria Gale, wearing my own glasses, 435.
You know, in the first half of the show, we always talk about new restaurants and new places that our panelists have visited, and they have some new places to talk about. And you are always welcome to join this conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can send us an email to centralstandard@kcur.org or a tweet to
@KCURCST.
So let's start with you, Chris. What new places have you been to?
Well, I'm going to mention a new happening, new sort of happenings. This month for the Restaurant Guide in Chris's Corner, I wrote about prefix meals and a la carte and so forth. And then what should come along but that at the Raphael at Chaz at the Plaza, on the Plaza, they are doing a prefix dinner from March 14th through the 31st. And that's kind of fun.
How much is it?
It is 5 courses long.
Okay.
I don't have the price.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
That's usually the attraction of a prefix meal. Yeah.
That is usually the attraction. And I think that the idea, I mean, this is 5 courses. A lot of prefixes are 3.
Okay.
And I was told that it was a good deal, but they can go to chazontheplaza.com and find out the price.
And they could always call us and tell us at 816-235-2888.
Which would be a perfect solution. And the other sort of real new thing, I was back at the Opera House at 500 Walnut.
5th and Walnut.
And it looks so cool inside now. It looks so much better. The place is hopping. The bar is open. They have, and I will.
Now this is the place. I guess we should remind our listeners that for a long, long time was the. It was a brewery, right?
Yes, it was.
River Market Brewery.
River Market Brewery, and the food is really, really good. They've got the bakery. Is expanding once again. They've got another couple of young women making macarons that are delicious, scrumptious, and when they get expanded, I'm going to talk about that. But at any rate, the Opera House's menu, I was really surprised at how it has expanded. Everything from big salads to paninis to, I had a gyro there that was wonderful.
Now, Chris, when that place opened as the Opera House, It was sort of like a food court that you went to different stations to get things.
Yeah, and now you just go to one place basically, except for the bakery, okay. which is a wonderful bakery. You just go to one place and they'll bring you your meal. I mean, you go up to a counter and order it, and they bring you your meal. And they're open for breakfast as well as lunch, and they're open at dinner, and they've got a bar. So it's a very fun, good place.
And the address again is
500 Walnut, and it's just cool. I went back to Kansas Town, which is new. Finally went back for dinner. Kansas Town is, I'm doing really well today.
Well, it's in the former Macaluso space.
Yes.
At the corner, is it the corner of
Genesee? I think. I am looking it up right now.
Okay. But they have, you know, their chef, their new young chef is really working hard. His name is Garrett Casper. And we had a really, there were 4 of us, we had an excellent, excellent dinner. And so it was very nice.
That the portions are not huge. It's sort of a tasting menu.
It is, but the prices aren't huge either. So the pasta dish, the pappardelle, was $12. And, you know, it was a big bowl full of stuff. So I really did. And we had a radish, kale, beet, carrot, and fennel panna cotta that was delicious.
Sounds healthy.
It was. It was really good.
Was it dessert?
No. It was a savory appetizer. It was really,
sounds really good.
And Kansas Town is at 1403 West 39th Street, which I found thanks to the Fast Pitch article.
Thank you.
Perfect.
I like it. I'm getting ready to review that myself. And we should say that Emily could chime in here that they have a pretty good Sunday brunch.
They do. And the world's largest cinnamon roll slash loaf.
It was a cinnamon loaf.
Loaf. It was more like the size of a loaf of bread. Yeah. It was tasty, though.
And the final place, if people have not gotten to Novel, they really need to do that. That is a wonderful restaurant.
It's one of the best in the city. And what is the address there?
17th and
Summit.
Summit. Yeah. Thank you.
In the old Lil's space.
Yes.
And I saw on Facebook they just did a little patio refresh. They put down new deck wood.
Oh, great.
So the patio should be hopefully ready to go for spring.
Well, that's great because that does really expand because it's a very small restaurant.
I call it intimate.
Intimate, yes.
Charles thinks it's a little cramped.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah. You should see me try to get up those stairs. Yeah. Emily, where have you been? Now, you've been to a place that I'm very intrigued to hear about, which is the new Ale House?
The Westport Ale House at 4128 Broadway, and it's in the old Streetside Records building, which is kind of hard to miss. It's been empty a while. And
they've got some major light action going there. There's a big sign with in lights.
Yeah, and the decor in there is really cool, and they have big couches and big TVs, which I assume are for sports. I don't know. I don't combine dining and sports, but I think that's what they're for.
Lots of people
do. I was really, really impressed with the food.
Well, tell us, what kind of things are they serving?
Well, it's kind of elevated bar food, but not too... I don't like when people try to elevate bar food too much. It's like, come on, it's a bar. Just give me bar food. So we got bar food. We got nachos, which were really good, and you can get them with chicken or beef.
Okay.
And I was intrigued by the listing on the menu because they're individually topped. When you go out for nachos and you get to the bottom of a pile of nachos and you've eaten all the good stuff off the top,
mm-hmm.
What's the point in nachos? So they're individually topped and there aren't that many. I think
how labor intensive is that?
Well, there are 8 or 10 nachos on the plate, so they're an appetizer size, but they were so good. They were a little sweet, a little spicy, a little salty.
Now, is it mostly a casual sandwich kind of menu, or do they have entrees as well?
They have. It's mostly sandwiches. So they have. Well, they have burgers and hot dogs and sandwiches. And then they do a few specials. So on Sundays, they do a fried chicken special for $14. Monday is a prime rib special for market price.
Good.
And Tuesday, wing night for 50 cents a wing. And the wings were really good. I ate a lot of wings because my husband is obsessed with them. And the wings were really good.
Hot?
They were hot, but not too hot. And they were manageable. And then we split one of the burgers, the Q. And it's a double burger with pecan smoked bacon and smoked Gouda. I guess stout barbecue sauce, so made with beer and onion straws. And everything was really, really good. I was really impressed. And I am not usually a big fruity cocktail drinker because I don't like sweet drinks or anything too sweet. But I thought when in a beer place, an ale house, I would get a beer cocktail. And I had one called the Red Flection, and it was a gin cocktail with elderflower liqueur and raspberries and Deschutes Mirror Pond. It was really good. It tasted a little like beer and a little like fruit and a little like gin. And
it sounds quite potent, was it?
It was. No, I mean, I had one. I was fine. Okay. We still went to Savat afterwards.
All right.
So we had that. And
tell our listeners about Savat because it's the new Howard Hanna champagne bar.
Yes, and he has two partners in it. And one's a wine guy, one's more of a bartender. And they... it's a champagne bar at 4149 Pennsylvania, which is just south of Port Fonda in a little freestanding. I think there might be a few apartments on top. You kind of would miss it if you weren't looking for it. But now that there's a
I don't think there's anything on top. I think it's a freestanding little tiny
building
that used to be a dress shop.
Okay. Yeah. I never really noticed the building before. It was kind of nondescript and I never had a reason to go. But now I do. I've been to Savat twice and I really like it. It's a little champagne bar. It's kind of... you know, old-timey, elegant. It's intimate, but I feel like it's roomy enough where you can stand at the bar, though. There's good seating in there. There's a piano, so if you have a little too much champagne and want to play the piano.
Or sing.
Or sing. You can play. You can sing. I'll play the one song I know. And you can order champagne by the bottle, of course, as it's a champagne bar. And they always have a few by the glass, which is nice, because if I drink a whole bottle of champagne, I will be singing in a champagne bar. And they also do champagne cocktails.
Nice.
So the Cure Royale and the I like the classic, which is just a bitter soaked sugar cube dropped in a champagne glass. And really quickly, I just want to mention that I went to the Blue Stem 10-year anniversary dinner. And it was really good. And they have a new chef who was executing all of these dishes, like the favorite dishes of every year from the last 10 years at Blue Stem. And I not that I have everything to compare them to, but he did a really great job and got a little bit of insight on the new renovation from a server. So it's not an official word, but the bar might become a little more, a little easier to eat in the bar. So okay. I was worried they were going to maybe close down the bar a little and expand the dining room. But the dining room is going to maybe even get a tiny bit smaller. And there'll be a partially open kitchen.
Smaller? It's already pretty small.
Yeah. But I think they're going to make it easier to dine in the bar, which is easier easier for my wallet anyway. And so there'll be more tables and I think fewer ottomans in the lounge area and a partially open kitchen.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. And that is the legendary
Blue Stem at 900 Westport Road.
All right. And Miss Gloria, what is on your list today?
Excuse me. Well, I read the article in the paper about Black Dog Coffee House and the toast. You can get me anywhere if you put out a good piece of toast. But anyway, so I ended up going over there.
How easy you are.
I am so easy. It's 12815 West 87th Street Parkway. It's in Lenexa. And it is a darling coffee house. Friendly, you know, and this toast is what got me there. It's like 2 inches tall. It takes like 3 days to make. And they have wonderful flavors like coconut white chocolate and cranberry walnut. And then they put homemade
jam. Isn't toast just a piece of bread that you
toast? Well, it is, but it's big. It's like thick. You know that Texas toast we used to remember that?
Is it buttery?
Remember, they still order it.
Pardon me?
Is it buttery?
Well, it can be. So they make homemade jam, and they have ground almond butter and local honey and sea salt. So it's fabulous.
And then again, it's the Black Dog Coffee House.
It is the Black Dog Coffee House. And then I also went to a tasting at Sporting Park. They're rolling out a new menu.
This is the soccer park
in Legends? This is the soccer park in the Legends, which is beautiful. And they are going to, well, they are now because the season has started. They have meat pies, which is a traditional soccer accoutrement that people eat. And it's flaky. It weighs a ton.
Is it like an empanada? Or is it
is like
face?
An empanada. Okay.
And, like a big
and you
empanada,
put it in a, you know, you hold it in your hand and then
like
you hold the beer in the other hand.
It's like
pasty.
It's a pasty.
It's a pasty. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's stuffed.
What kind of meat is in it?
Well, some sort of beef. And then they have carrots and celery and potatoes and peas and all those English the kinds of things. And it's delicious. And then they're also having gourmet grilled cheese. It has like two or three different kinds of cheeses in it. I couldn't get enough of that. And then they have their, now this is going to sound strange, but they have fried hominy, but it's habanero dusted. So it's got a little kick. And they serve it in a little, anyway, in a cone. And it's like an alternative to chips or, anyway. So it's another snack kind of a thing. They also serve jerky, but, you know, Blue Hell Lemonade, which they've done in the past, but now
does it have alcohol in it?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's you can either get it frozen or on tap.
I want to remind our listeners that this is Central Standard, the Food Critics Edition, and you are more than welcome to join the conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We're already starting to get phone calls, and let's go to Ricardo in Midtown. Ricardo?
Hi, good morning. I want to talk about, you all were talking about Westport. There's a place called Eat Me Gourmet. It's EATME. Have you been there yet?
I've written a story about it because I know the chef, Peter Castillo, who is sort of known to all of us. He is a very talented chef who has had a couple of restaurants of his own and worked in many restaurants. It's sort of a food window, right?
Yeah. And also, you could walk in through this other bar, Westwood Saloon, and you could walk up to their counter at the Eat Me Gourmet, and they'll serve you there as well. I really love their, they have some kind of Reuben-type sandwich with pastrami or something like that.
And I think they serve very, very late, don't they? like till 3 a.m. Yeah. or something?
Yeah, and unfortunately, I told all of my friends that we're here for lunch, and they're not open for lunch. They're only open for like 4 p.m. until last call or whatever.
Okay.
But also, I want to talk about, there's another, everyone keeps overlooking this tiny, tiny wine bar on Westport Road, and I forget the name of it, but it's right by 303.
Yeah.
Have you all been there yet?
Are you talking about Ragazza della Cucina?
Oh.
No, I think Ragazza.
You're not talking about Booze Fish.
No, Booze Fish isn't near 303.
Doesn't Ragazza have a lot of wine?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Are you sure? It's on the corner?
Yeah, it's on the corner.
Oh, Charles, we have not. Charles loves that place.
Yeah.
We went for lunch. We have not overlooked it.
No,
but thank you for mentioning
it. Times, yeah,
darling, I love that place.
Yeah, it's hard to get a table because there are only 5 of them, but it's a very very popular place. It's not been overlooked.
Okay.
I promise you.
Okay, wonderful.
And they're
really
closed on a They're closed on a strange night, right? Like a Wednesday or something. Did I hear? I overheard somebody in Westport saying that they were trying to go there. They were maybe not. I don't want to give misinformation. Yeah. I'll look it up.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, Ricardo. And let's go to Justin. Justin in Raytown, are you with us?
Yeah, I wanted to mention a place that opened up just west of Fairmont on 24 at 24 in South Arlington called Grandpa's Cafe.
Now, where is 24 in South Arlington? Is that Independence?
It would be borderline. Okay. It might be Independence. It might be Kansas City. It's kind of in the no man's land there, but it's east of... where 435 crosses 24 by maybe a mile and a half.
All right. And what kind of food could we get at Grandpa's Cafe?
Backstory, if you've ever heard of Papa Gallo's downtown at Broadway and Valentine years ago, this guy was an owner of that. Many claims that Walt Bodine used to come in for his burgers whenever he was downtown somewhere, and that he's had praises sung on your very show. So I'd like, what are you guys... to go there and see if you recognize the guy. But, yeah, he does everything. American burgers. He does gyros, kifta, and shawarma. Has some of the best fried eggplant I've ever had. Does baba ganoush, falafel.
Now, is this a place that's open for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or just breakfast and lunch?
It's open for lunch, and then I think they close at 7, and on Fridays you want to call ahead because he leaves at noon and comes back at 2 or somewhere in there.
Right, right.
But I grew up with a grandma that was from Sicily, and I know home-cooked Italian food. The fettuccine Alfredo down there is the first time I've ever had fettuccine Alfredo, despite spending money at high-end Italian restaurants that tasted like my grandma used to cook when she boiled down the milk, and you could actually taste the milk in it.
All right. That sounds like a good place. I'd like to go there myself. Hey, thank you, Justin. And that is Grandpa's Cafe on 24 Highway. I think we need to make a little field trip to Grandpa's
at some point.
Yeah.
And I just looked up Ragazza there. They do breakfast from 10 to 1, breakfast on Saturdays, lunch Mondays and Saturdays 11 to 2. So they serve dinner Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Very good.
So
thank
they were
you.
Closed on Wednesdays.
All right. And I think, have we all been there to Ragazza della Cucina?
No. Mm-mm.
You should get in. It's,
yeah. What's the address, please?
The address is 301 Westport Road. And it's really adorable in there.
All right. And I want to remind our listeners that in the second half of the show, we will be talking about noodles in and around Kansas City. Where do you go for a meal of noodles? And where do you go to buy authentic noodles to cook for yourself? So you could join the conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-28. Or you could email us at centralstandard@kcur.org or a tweet to...
@KCURCST.
Very good. And we are talking about new places. Emily, I think you had one other new place you had been to?
No, just those three.
Okay. I stumbled into a little... for people who don't know, because I think we had this woman on the show... Esther, and forgive
yes.
me for not remembering her last name, who had an East African restaurant in Lenexa. She has closed, so she can focus on her catering. But another East African restaurant has opened in the historic Northeast. It's at the corner of Lexington and Brooklyn. That's as close as I can get. And it's called the El Rahman Cafe. And they serve very, very good East African food. It's run by 4 brothers. It's really a charming place. And that is in the historic Northeast.
Speaking of closures, I noticed that Will Jenny's closed.
Yes, mm-hmm. It did.
Yes, which is
actually,
way out
you know,
of
there, in the last 3 months there have been a plethora of closing. In your neck of the woods, Sugo's Spaghetti closed.
Right.
And I kind of liked that place.
I did too, and they made a good pizza.
Huh.
They made pretty good spaghetti, I guess, you know.
It was casual and kind of fun and easy.
Yeah, and there was something else that closed, but I...
Oh, several things have closed.
Yeah. Is this the season for closures? Is this the season for closing?
This is the spring season, and because we've had some really obnoxious weather, has been really hard on the local restaurants. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to see the good ones really bounce back in the next couple months, and that's always good. The Orange Box closed. That was a lunch place on, at least he stopped serving lunch there, a little lunch place on Linwood across from Costco.
Now, didn't they open and close once before?
Yes.
Okay.
In a different location.
Okay.
So, and we are taking your phone calls, 816-235-2888. It's always hard to report about restaurants that close.
I know. Yeah. The little taco or the little Mexican place on Lamar, right south of I-35, closed, and that made me really sad. That was a family. I mean, it was definitely a family. The mom was cooking. They were, I used to go by there on Saturdays to pick up something for lunch, and suddenly it was gone. It made me sad.
Well, also, we are going to be getting a new restaurant called Jack's. J-A-X, and it's in
Jack's Fish House.
Yes, and it'll be in the same complex as Pocinelli and Hotel Sorella right there. I don't know the name of the development. It's Plaza something.
Yeah.
And also, you know, if people are interested in tasting a tea that tastes like coffee, which makes no sense at all, there's some cherry flavoring also in it, go to Parisi. And there's two locations, Parisi.
I don't know that I want to taste a cherry-flavored coffee.
But it's not cherry. That's not really the overtone. It's really a tea, but it's got a coffee kind of a tinge with cherry. I can't explain it. And it's a Parisi.
Interesting.
And where is Parisi Coffee?
Well, there are two of them. One is in Union Station.
All right.
And the other one is in Park Place at 117th and Ash, somewhere in there.
Go ahead. I was going to say good news. So we're talking about closings. Murray's is open for the season. You just read about that,
I did.
Charles.
Just read about that.
And Murray's
it opened
and their wonderful
yesterday.
Ice cream.
All right. Let's go to, we're going to take this very quick call. Is it Cesar?
Yes.
Hey, Cesar, what do you want to tell us about?
Well, I lived in Kansas City for more than 13 years. I was born and raised in Laredo, Texas, so I know a little bit about Mexican food. And there's a new place, a little place right on Inglewood and I-69 called Rio Jalisco.
Okay.
All right.
And their food is outstanding. I mean, their mole, their tacos, and their salsas are phenomenal.
And is this the same Rio Jalisco as that in Blue Springs?
I am not sure if it is the same place. It probably is. I never eaten there before. I try El Patron. I try margaritas. You know, the problem with those places is that those places cook and a more of American style Mexican food versus an authentic Mexican style Mexican food.
So it looks like this is the same one as the one in Blue Springs. There's one on 7 Highway and this one at 4112. Northwest Inglewood, and you are not the first person I've heard say wonderful things about this place.
I have been to the Rio Jalisco in Blue Springs, and it's an excellent family-run restaurant, a really, really good restaurant. So thank you for that tip, Cesar. I just was going to say that we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be looking for the best noodles in and around Kansas City. So call in with your favorites during the break at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. That's coming up when Central Standard returns in just a moment. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Charles Ferruzza, joined by my other fellow food critics here, Emily Ferris, Chris Basica, and Gloria Gale. Today we're discussing noodles. Where do you go for the best spaghetti? Or, as a previous caller told us, where do you go for the best fettuccine Alfredo? A dish that I love dearly, and it's so fattening I just can't order it anymore.
It's my husband's test dish.
For any Italian restaurant?
Any Italian restaurant.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah.
And where do you go? We want to know. Join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or send us an email to centralstandard@kcur.org. And you could tweet us at
@KCURCST.
All right. We are going to be talking about pasta. And, but first, before we segue to pasta, we have Claudia from Independence on the line. Claudia?
Yes.
Tell us what you want to tell us.
Well, I know that this has been open for some time, I think since last fall, Baked in Kansas City.
No, actually, it just opened up about January, I think. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, seven of us went there last Saturday before the opera, and it was wonderful. We pretty much overdid on bread because the bread was fantastic, but all the food that we had, the group we were with, had was outstanding. My husband had bison short ribs that were really, really good, too. And I just wanted to say how great it was, and the bakery looks wonderful. We didn't have any of the pastries, but they certainly look good, and we're going back for those too.
That's great. I've had the bison short ribs myself, and they're delicious.
And that was baked?
Yes.
Baked in Kansas. It's in the old Napoleon Bakery building in Westport.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I should know the address.
It's 706 Westport Road.
Yes. And if you need to know, there is a parking lot directly across the street, opposite the restaurant, so there is parking. And Claudia, thank you so much. All right, so let's talk about pasta. I want to know where Chris, what we now know that your husband's test dish, because I think everybody has one for an Italian restaurant, is a fettuccine Alfredo. And I mean, I could tell from first bite whether the sauce came out of a jar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is hard to find. It's a labor intensive dish, mm-hmm. or it can be. Mm-hmm. So where do you like to go?
Actually, I like Bowling's.
All right.
I mean, when I thought noodle, I thought Chinese instead of pasta. And I think it's interesting, noodles in one country is pasta in another sort of.
Or pierogies. There's all kinds of variations on this theme.
But I thought Bowling's, and Bowling's on the Plaza, you know, has a noodle bar now, which is kind of fun.
It's a ramen bar.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. So, and I thought it was the Chinese, I guess, because I was doing some research, too. The Chinese were the first people with ramen noodles, but then the Japanese liked them so much they sort of took them over. So, but anyway,
you know, one thing we have noticed in culinary history is that when one culture develops a really great dish, everybody steals it.
That's true.
Yeah. And puts their own spin on it.
That is true.
All right. So give me your favorite dish at Bowling's.
They have a it's called a long life noodle soup.
Really?
Yes. And
is it like a pho?
It is. It's a broth with vegetables, and for some reason it tastes really good, and I feel like I will indeed have a long life from it. But I don't know. It's just one of those comfort
foods. You're
looking younger.
I noticed that, yeah.
Thank you. The wrinkles are disappearing. And I've never tried this, but I definitely want to. It's called Laksa Lemak, which is soft egg noodles. It's a curry broth.
That's a Malaysian dish, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. With cream, and they've got a fried egg on top of it. Huh. I just think that sounds really good.
Now, Emily, you are very familiar with Korean food. Your husband lived in Korea for a while. Does Korean cuisine have a tradition of noodles as well?
It's a lot of rice, but there are some noodle dishes. There's one, I always get nervous when I have to pronounce it. Ang Jang Jim Dok. Kyle, if you're listening, he's on spring break. Call in and pronounce it correctly. But it's like a chicken stew with potatoes and carrots, and it's a little sweet and a little spicy, and it has the glass noodles, the cellophane noodles. But mostly in Korean food, it's rice, other than the, in my experience anyway, other than the cellophane noodles.
All right. Do you have a favorite noodle place to get?
I have a lot. I have a carb problem.
Okay. it's a problem I share with you.
Yes. Well, of course, the Pad Thai at Thai Place in Westport, and the Pho at Vietnam Cafe, and then the Spätzle at Grinauer.
You don't usually think of that
as a pasta, but or you know, when you think noodles.
Dough.
it's so good, and get it with like their Hungarian beef, and again, it's a little bit spicy, and then the sweetness of the carbs kind of balances it out. It's so good.
You know, if we're taking this theme literally on pasta, I guess you could say that chicken and dumplings would be a pasta dish in some fashion.
Sure. So gnocchi, I was going to ask, is gnocchi, considered, do we consider that a noodle? It's pasta, but is it a noodle?
No.
It's a
dumpling kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a dumpling.
Well,
so
it's a
but you know,
dumpling.
Yeah. In my mind, if it's made with flour, I eat it.
Right.
It's pasta. All right. Gloria, where do you like to go?
Well,
what's your
interesting.
Go-to
I like two places. One is Hot Basil's Pad See Ow, which is they serve big fat rice noodles. They're like about an inch thick, and they are so delicious. And then I like – and they're rice noodles, not the dough noodles. And then the other one is there's a dish at Blue Koi that has chicken and noodles. And I don't – that's sort of like a German dish, really, but it's not. It's Chinese. And then when I was growing up, we had something called Kugel, which is either sweet or savory, and it can be a casserole. And you can't – it's hard to find here. You have to really –
hard to find, but easy to make.
Easy to make, but not,
I have
so
a few Kugel recipes in my cookbook.
If anyone knows where to get good Kugel here, I'm all ears.
Oh, yes, we're going to have to add to our closed list Marv's Delicatessen in Barclays closed, yes.
Wow.
So, you know, it seems like delicatessens really, really have a hard time here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Traditional Jewish delicatessens.
That's too bad.
And was that? Again?
That was in Park Place in Leawood.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
So, and apparently there's some other new restaurant concept going into that space.
Huh.
So, you know, au revoir.
Au revoir.
Adieu. Yes. We're back on the subject of noodles, and we want to know where you go for noodles at 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. And Emily, I'm with you. I'm a little bit of a carb addict. And although would the traditional rice cellophane noodles be considered carbs?
I mean, rice is a yes. Yeah. As a person who's had to really intensely watch my carbs lately, yes.
Okay.
Though there are these crazy noodles you can get at the grocery store, Whole Foods, and some other grocery stores, and the Asian markets, and they're made out of like a yam starch, and they claim to have no calories and no carbs, and they come in a bag.
Would they be considered gluten free as well?
I believe so. And
so you're eating air.
Basically, but also it's a bag of noodles and it's not very big, and it says, you know, 1/6 of it is a serving. So, you know, if you eat a whole serving, maybe you'll get 20 calories and six.
And what are they called?
I don't even know.
Oh.
They're weird clear noodles in a bag, and they're calorie free, carb free noodles.
Don't believe it.
And they're, you know what? If you put enough soy sauce and sesame seeds crushed red pepper on them, they're not bad.
You know, the thing about noodles is the noodles are actually always a little bit less important than what you put on top of them.
That does seem to be usually true. Although I will say, you know, if you buy your noodles or if you buy your pasta at a place like Cupini's, that makes a huge difference.
Because it's fresh.
Because it's fresh. Mm-hmm. It also makes a big difference when you're cooking with them, which I didn't know at one point. But,
And, you know, lasagna is a noodle dish.
Yes,
they are very wide semolina noodles, and it may be America's favorite noodle dish for all I know.
It probably is.
Speaking of Cupini's, I hope they don't hate me for saying this, but when I lived near there, I used to call in and get a special order when trying to balance my carbs with vegetables. And I would ask them to give me a bowl of whatever long pasta they had that was cooked and mix it with all of their whatever vegetables they had ready at their bar. And they would. And they'd mix me up this bowl of noodles and olive oil and vegetables and crushed red pepper. And
that sounds
so
delicious.
Good. Thank you, Cupini's.
Yes.
All right. We're starting to get phone calls. And let's go to Casey. Casey and Lenexa, are you on the air with us?
Good morning. How you doing, everybody?
Great. Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Korean food as well, and it's been hard. There's not a whole lot of places to go in town, but around 103rd and Metcalf, there's two places. Of course, Choga is kind of standard for, you know, like hardcore, actual, like Korean cuisine, but there's another place for pho that also does Korean. It's called Cafe V. I don't know if you've talked about it today yet. V is spelled V-I-E, and they do half Korean for the one guest on the radio. They do good bibimbaps and some other good dishes, rice dishes, but they also have really some of the best pho in town. I've been almost every Vietnamese place around the area. They've got the best beef pho. It'll rock your world. It's amazing.
You know, that's a very interesting place. It is in the Metcalf 103 Shopping Center. Am I
correct?
Yeah, exactly. It's headed in the back there next to like an Asian mart back there. They've got also a connection with a bakery, Formosa Bakery out in Lawrence.
Right.
They bring in some great baked goods. It's a cool little place. Very, it's like a Korean cafeteria style.
I was going to say, it's kind of a combination coffee house, bakery, and little tiny cafe restaurant with a sort of eclectic Asian menu, because there are Korean dishes, there are Vietnamese dishes.
And I can't let you go without telling you there actually are some really good options for Korean food in the city. There's Sobon on Shawnee Mission Parkway. Have you been there?
You know, I've heard about it. People who have been to Korea and who are fans of it have kind of not spoken as favorably, but I always like to think I'm the last, you know, I'm always the last word of, you know, kind of, you know, for that type of thing. And I take those words into consideration. But
well, my husband lived there for 18 months, and we go all the time.
Rock on.
And I also recommend Chosun. Is it around 126th and Metcalf? And they do Korean barbecue.
That's fantastic. That's one place I have not been. Thank you for the heads up. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Have a great morning,
Casey. And that is a good place, Cafe V, in the Metcalf 103 Shopping Center. We've got JJ in Kansas City, Missouri. JJ, what do you want to tell us?
Hey, good morning. You mentioned earlier that you were pretty sure that lasagna was probably America's most popular pasta dish. And I am a supervisor and sommelier at Milano Italian Dining and Crown Center.
All right.
And I know, this last menu on our mock mix, for the first time ever, we have a dish called a smoked chicken carbonara that we do.
Uh-huh.
And for the first time we've ever seen, it actually sold more than lasagna, which has always, for years, been the biggest seller of the restaurant.
Huh. Lasagna doesn't have bacon. Carbonara does.
That's supposed to be an interesting factoid to throw that out there, that lasagna got beat this one time.
All right. And, JJ, would you give a shout-out to my friend Brenda Smith, who I think is still working there?
Oh, yeah. I love Brenda.
Okay. Thank you so much, JJ. And that tells me lasagna has fallen from grace, a little bit.
I will say carbonara is one of my very favorite dishes. I feel so guilty eating it.
Well,
is it
me
good.
Too. I'm with you. I love
very
it.
Few restaurants really make traditional carbonara, because it's really just pork belly or bacon and egg, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there isn't a cream sauce, but in Kansas City, they like cream sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get real carbonara, I know, at Jasper's restaurant at 103rd Street. I'm trying to think where else you can.
I think Lydia's has it sometimes. I'm sort of remembering it on the menu, but then not, so I don't know.
It may be one of their pasta sampler options sometimes.
Which I love their pasta options.
I do, too. I just was there, and they did that. And they're really smart, because they know you can't OD on pasta. Well, you can. You probably can. But it fills you up so fast.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You really can't eat a lot of it.
And that is the pasta sampler at Lydia's in the Crossroads.
It's delish.
And we are talking pasta this hour.
Who does udon noodles?
Well, udon, probably most Japanese steakhouses have it, or Japanese restaurants will have some kind of udon noodle dish.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
That's really good.
And a lot of sushi places have it as well. So.
I don't do sushi, but, you know, there used to be a restaurant where the chef actually came out. I want to say it's Bowling's, but I'm not sure. And maybe they actually showed you how to make noodles right at tableside.
Oh.
And stretching, and that when the gluten strands got long enough or whatever it is, they broke. And the chef would do that over and over again. It was really entertaining. Huh. And then you had fresh pasta. Fresh noodles, rather. Yeah, don't know who it was.
Our producer, Matthew Long Middleton, is having a mad craving suddenly for ramen. And I've got to confess that I'm not the world's biggest ramen fan, because I was once, I know this is hard to believe, but I was once a very, very poor college student.
Yes.
Surviving on a lot of noodles, ramen being one of them. The other was... Oh, I'm so embarrassed to say this, Kraft macaroni and cheese in the box.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Some of us still make that, actually.
Yeah.
But the ramen at Bowling's, Charles, have you had the ramen bar there?
Not yet.
It's so different, and it's so good. And it's not like a cup of noodles or ramen. It's, you know, it's a huge bowl, and you choose your noodle, and you choose your broth, and you choose your meat, and you get to put together a big, warm bowl of deliciousness.
You know, on that note, would a place like Genghis Khan, which is a Mongolian...
Oh. Or BD's Mongolian bar. Yeah, absolutely.
I think they have a pretty good noodle component there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't love places where you have to go and make your own food
I'm
like that.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. Yeah. I would much rather have something that's been taste tested most of the time.
I feel like that's why I'm going out to eat and paying someone. If I want to make my own weird noodle thing, I'll make it at home. I want somebody to make something
very
really
popular,
good for me.
Though.
I know,
and I think it's great for people who know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But I would personally also, I'm right there with you. I want someone else to choose mm-hmm. and make it the best because I figure they've tried it.
Now, is there a place, a Chinese or Italian, that's doing gluten-free noodles?
Most of them are now.
Most of them that taste decent?
Yes.
Because they can get mushy.
Gluten-free dishes used to be very, very hard to find and not very tasty.
Yep.
But in this new millennium age, it is very possible to go to almost any restaurant, especially restaurants that specialize in noodles mm-hmm. Or pasta of some kind. They have gluten-free dishes that are really good.
Yeah. And I know we're talking restaurants, but I found a really good gluten-free pasta in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I think it's called Ancient Something or Other, and it's quinoa, and it's a teal box. And I've started to almost like those as much as semolina pasta because I like one thing, you know, Charles, earlier you said it doesn't really matter the pasta, it goes what's on it. See, I disagree. I like the pasta has to be really perfectly al dente. And if it's not.
That's hard to get with gluten-free.
Yeah, but quinoa pasta is good. And when I go out, if the pasta is overcooked, my meal is ruined.
You know, I want to ask you, panel, we tend to veer away on this show from fast food places, but a really successful chain right now is Noodles & Company. Mm-hmm. There are several mm-hmm. in the Kansas City area.
I love Noodles & Company.
Well, yeah, most of my friends do too. And tell me why, Emily, you like it so much.
Oh, I get I think it's called the Indonesian Bowl. And you can get it in a small size or a large size. So I have automatic portion control built in when I order because I know we've joked about this, but pasta is kind of addicting. It's carby and delicious and comforting. And I don't ever get anything other than that Indonesian bowl. But when I'm in a hurry and I want something fast that's not, you know, a greasy burger, mm-hmm. it's good and it at least tastes fresh and there are vegetables in it and it's spicy and the texture is good. And I've been very pleased with it.
Who does a good crispy noodle? You know, the fried noodles, something in Chinese.
Probably.
Bolings, I'm sure.
Dragon Inn, I think, in downtown Overland Park does a nice one.
Uh-huh.
Crispy noodles. Yeah, I haven't had
crispy
those in a long
noodles.
Time.
You know, like.
Like fried noodles. Pan-fried noodles.
That's what it's called. Yeah.
Pan-fried noodles.
I know I've seen them. I feel like.
Without being greasy.
Does ABC Cafe have a fried noodle?
I believe they do, and I think Bolings has done them for years.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite way to eat noodles, actually.
Really?
Oh, crunchy? Right. If I'm making them at home. Yep.
In all cultures, everything is better fried.
Yes. Right.
All right. We are talking about pasta here. We are still taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And, we're getting some interesting calls. And let's go to Lee. Is it Leah or Lee? Hello?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good morning. This is Leah from Liberty, Missouri.
All right.
And just wanted to make a quick comment. You were discussing lasagna. And as an Italian, I'm always looking for the best. Anthony's restaurant downtown has a classic lasagna. You can't get it any better anywhere in the country.
Oh, that's really high praise. I love Anthony's on Grand. It's 9th and Grand. It's been there for at least since the 1960s.
And it hasn't changed
a bit.
It hasn't changed a bit.
hasn't changed at all, but it gets overlooked. But I'll leave the air. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's actually one of my very favorite places to go.
I think they do make a really good lasagna.
They make a really good lasagna.
Yeah.
You know, and people are real fussy about lasagna. They don't want maybe too much ricotta. They don't want too much meat.
Yeah.
I like to have my lasagna with sausage in it and not ground beef, but, you know, that gets harder to find.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But lasagna is a great classic dish.
Mm-hmm. And it's really a pain to make. So it's really a good dish to eat out, mm-hmm. actually, because it's so many steps.
Let's go to Rachel. Rachel in Raytown. Rachel.
Hiya. Hey, I was just calling to see if any of you had ever gone to Blue U in Raytown. It's off of 53rd. It's like Asian fusion. They've got like Korean bibimbap, and they've got Thai dishes and Vietnamese dishes, and they're all really, really good.
It's a little tiny place, right?
Yeah.
And what is the address? Do you know?
I don't know the exact address. I'm sorry, but it's like 63rd Street and Raytown Road.
No, yeah, it's 9700 East 63rd Street, and it's on the north side of 63rd, I believe.
Yeah. And, you know, from the exterior, it looks like, you know, any traditional Chinese restaurant, but they do have a very eclectic menu inside.
Mm. Yeah. They do. And I've been a couple different times. They also have a chrysanthemum tea. It's a flower tea, mm-hmm. and you get, like, the full bulb of the flower when you order it, and it just you have
it blossoms.
Glass, like, clear cut, cup, and then the flower, like, blooms right in front of you. It's beautiful. Huh. And they're always really great, and the food has been beyond delicious every time I've been.
Hey, Rachel, thank you so much. That was a great suggestion. Let's go to... Let's go to Gail. Gail in Overland Park.
Hello.
Hi, Gail.
Hi. You were talking about udon noodles.
Yes.
And our favorite is Tamazama in Westport.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We love theirs. We lived in Japan for 5 years, and we found that their food is really quite good.
And what do you get with your udon noodles? I mean,
I usually just get the chicken yaki udon.
Very good. Yeah, there's a lot of delicious things on that menu. Mm-hmm. I'll say
it's a really great place, and they're really friendly, and we really want to support them.
Yeah. Hey, that's great. Zama in Westport.
Yeah,
that's a little family-owned place. It's very charming.
And it's the family that does the one bite. Isn't it?
But they closed that one.
Right, but they still have their products in the stores.
Right, Erica Koike, I believe, is her name, yes. Let's go to Greg. Greg in Olathe, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I want to recommend a place called Iron Horse in Olathe, Kansas. It's right off of I-35 on the old 56 highway exit. It's a genuine mom-and-pop place where Pop does the cooking and Mom's the cashier and things like that, but he makes his own homemade Chinese noodles.
Really?
Interesting.
It's great. And also, it's a little more expensive, like maybe a buck more expensive than other Chinese places, but everything is totally fresh vegetables. Each sauce is made for the dish. Cashew chicken in a lot of places is just kind of an amorphous brown glop.
Yeah.
And there, all the fresh vegetables stand out, and the sauce was made for each pan of material he makes. It's just a wonderful place.
Hey, that's great. And that is called the Iron Horse?
Iron Horse. It's on Old 56 Highway in Olathe. And when you go in, the menu has only a small portion of what's available there. Mom makes special things and cuts them out and puts them up all over. So take time to read the walls and the ceiling before you decide on what you want to eat.
Hey.
Because there's a whole lot of things there.
Okay, Greg, thank you very much. That's
Gloria, oh, go ahead. I was going to say, Gloria will be glad to know there's a picture of the owner pulling noodles on the website.
Wow.
Is that the place you were thinking of, Gloria?
No.
Okay.
So it's Iron Horse Chinese Restaurant at 918 East Old 56 Highway.
Terrific. Let's go to Holly. Holly, are you with us?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Holly.
I have a question for you guys, actually. My husband loves chow fun, and we have a really hard time finding it around town, and I was wondering if you guys knew of any good places.
Well, tell us first what chow fun is.
I've actually only had it once, but I know it's a great big fat Chinese noodle.
Yeah.
It's got veggies. I'm not sure what kind of sauce, if the sauce is always the same or place to do it differently,
Cantonese.
But usually veggies and some kind of meat with it. So.
Well, I know that Bowling's has that. Have you tried there?
He may have, but we haven't been in a long time.
Okay. Well, I
remember seeing that on the menu too.
Yeah, I know that they have that. And I think all of their restaurants do.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
So try Bowling's. I don't know any others offhand.
Yeah, but it's you know, it's worth a phone call to, I think.
They have beef chow fun. Chow fun. I love the name.
Yes. Hey, thank you, Holly. I hope you find your chow fun. Let us know. We all want fun, but some of us want chow fun. Let's go to Ralph. Ralph, you're calling us from where?
Kansas City.
All right. So what do you want to tell us?
Well, I just wanted to mention that I was at a food court in Jakarta, Indonesia, a few years ago, and there was a noodle restaurant that had glass windows where you could observe the chefs making the noodles and stringing the noodles, which were like 10, 12 feet long, and it was very, very entertaining, and the noodles were just excellent, and again, it was more of a food court concept that could be done, I suppose, as a separate restaurant. But it was not only entertaining, but the food was also very delicious.
That's great.
Somebody touched on this earlier, but
yeah,
think it'd be a great concept for somewhere.
Actually,
that would be fun. New kind of tableside service.
Yes.
You know, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. All right. We're into it. I think we've almost hit every possible noodle culture during this show. So, I think it's we've given you so many ideas that I'm ready to go out and get some noodles right now.
Exactly.
Hey, as always, I'd like to thank my fellow food critics, Emily Ferris, Chris Pasica, and Gloria Gale. Of course, you can always find a list of all of the restaurants we mentioned today at kcur.org/centralstandard in just a few hours. You could subscribe to our podcast through that page or on iTunes. Central Standard returns on Monday with a look at how Kansas City manages its garbage. Now, there's an appetizing subject. Our show was produced today by Matthew Long Middleton and Christy Garten. Our announcer is Linda Scher. Our intern is Kate Baxendale. Up to Date is just 1 minute away with a conversation on how the media covered the late Fred Phelps. I'm Charles Ferruza. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your food, Kansas City.